Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'm Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. And in this week's episode of our podcast, I want to talk about a topic we've talked about many times, and that is crisis management exercises. It seems like as we're headed into the new year, that there is a great opportunity to think about how to enhance decision-making under pressure through effective crisis management exercises. And I don't know about what you're experiencing in your organization, but we're getting a lot of inquiries from potential clients about crisis exercises and simulations. And so I want to revisit this topic again and talk a little bit about what these mean, the business case to do them, what makes them effective, and how you can move forward with a strategy in your organization. So when we're talking about crisis management exercises, we're talking about the ability to practice elements of your business continuity and crisis management plans. It's interesting to see how many companies do and don't do exercises. In our experience, companies that do exercise regularly have more mature crisis processes and are able to make decisions more quickly in a crisis scenario. The same applies if you're exercising business continuity plans and the like. Companies that don't exercise, I think, struggle when it comes to the actual activation of a crisis plan or a continuity plan and using that effectively to help manage through a situation. I think this happens because decision-making under pressure simply fails if you have never prepared for that. And the idea of the kind of muscle memory that you need as a part of your process, of your leadership as a crisis leader or a member of a crisis management team, that you, if you've not practiced that, you're missing those elements of muscle memory and routine and experience that you would otherwise have. There's a big difference between just reading a crisis plan or being trained on a crisis plan and then actually having to use it to work through a scenario together. So stress plays a role in this. And as we think about just the spectrum of how maturity with a crisis exercise strategy evolves, companies that are more intense or more, you know, create more stress in some of these exercises have a chance to really tease out some of those challenges and opportunities that happen within a crisis, and doing it in a safe environment where it's okay if you fail in an exercise rather than in a real life scenario where failure could have material impact on your organization. We had a lot of questions about how to sell leadership on doing crisis exercises and simulations. Why should they invest in this? Why should they practice in this? Why should you do it regularly? And the business case for us always comes back to exactly what we talked about. It is cheaper and easier and more effective to make mistakes and learn lessons in an exercise or simulation than it does to do it in real life. In real life, you want to make new original mistakes. You want to get the easy mistakes out of the way because you have practiced these through a crisis management process. And that's usually the way that we explain the business case for doing this, that you want to use exercises to build confidence and muscle memory in your process and make mistakes here and learn about those, and then adapt your strategy, adapt your tactics so that you can do this effectively when it's a real life scenario. Now, when we're talking about crisis exercises, we're talking about some different types of exercises. And there's lots of ways to explain these. The way that we explain these is that you have tabletop exercises of different varieties that are essentially low stress discussions that you use to test your crisis and continuity plans. They're not very realistic. It's a lot of facilitated discussion. It's a lot of back and forth between the facilitator and the participants in the room. Then you get into what we would typically describe as a hybrid tabletop, or I think FEMA describes it as a functional exercise. But this is more of a simulation that requires real-time decision-making. It's where you're getting inputs at the different functions represented in the room, and they have to be able to then articulate that back to the group where you finally get the synthesis of what is going on. They're more challenging. They're a little more real time. They also take more time, and it's a heavier lift to run and facilitate. The third type of exercise is what FEMA and DHS would call a full-scale simulation, what we would describe here at BrightPath as a simulation, where it is a highly immersive exercise that mimics real-time inputs and real-time decision-making. For example, we have a client that is a healthcare technology company that runs an annual data breach simulation. And this is a full-scale simulation that evolves over typically a 2 to 3 day period. And they're having to receive inputs and react to those in real time. And they don't always have the whole story. So you have the challenges of being forced into making decision-making as an organization with only part of the story. Which mimics real life. You don't always know what is going on, and you have to be able to react to that. Now, with that in mind, we think that crisis simulations and exercises improve leadership decision-making because it forces you into the scenario where you can exercise that part of your brain that is going to have to react to this type of a situation. You have an opportunity to use the tools that are defined in your crisis management or business continuity plans. And it gives you a chance over a period of time to exercise repetition and exposure to some different crisis scenarios that allow the organization, allow you as a crisis leader to build confidence and build competence in the organization. So that the, if you have a, for example, if you've practiced over a simulation, a 2 or 3 day simulation of a data incident, and now you have a data incident, you're going to react better than you were before because you've built that muscle memory and you've been able to build that expertise and capability and a familiarity with your plan and the roles and responsibilities that folks will have during the exercise or in real life. There are a number of lessons. I think if you look at what I would think of as kind of high stakes industries, aviation, oil and gas, cybersecurity, public sector emergency management, there is a significant investment in these kind of exercises. And those lessons, to me, that repetition and regular practice, I think leads to better response in time. And there's a lesson that we can all capture from that. There's some common challenges with crisis exercises that you want to avoid. The first one is that any scenario that you put together, that you use in an exercise, needs to be realistic. Our approach is to work with subject matter experts inside of our clients to build exercise scenarios that are realistic, that are grounded in truth, that don't lead to the scenario or the exercise being challenged as you're working through it. We often build exercises around things that have actually happened to others. And then we use that scenario with a client, but tailored to their specific systems or organizational culture or what have you. For example, a few years ago, we did a multi-day crisis simulation centered on a data incident for a client. We built the scenario with internal technical resources so that it was grounded in truth. But the scenario itself was an actual data incident that had occurred a few years ago with the networking hardware and software firm Ubiquity. And so we used the general outlines of a real life scenario that was well understood that had happened 4 or 5 years ago. And we modified that to fit our clients' capabilities, clients' technology systems, and what have you. And then as we ended the scenario, then before we got into the lessons learned conversation, we went back and told the story of what had happened in real life to Ubiquity. So I think it gives you a lot of credibility as the resilience leader, as the exercise designer and facilitator, to use information like that that is real. That's one pitfall, is just lack of realism. The second one is just not learning lessons, capturing lessons learned during the exercise. We always end exercises with a debriefing and an after-action discussion, and we use an after-action survey, which allows folks the ability to reflect a little bit on the exercise and submit other thoughts. But those are important things to do in an exercise so that you're really maximizing the value of that investment in time that the team has put into this exercise. There are four key elements in my mind to an effective exercise. One is, what are we trying to test or respond? What are our objectives, our goals that we're attempting to do? The second is that we are using a realistic scenario, as I just talked about. The third is that we are exercising against the plan. Exercising when you don't have a plan is usually a recipe in frustration. Our preference is always to have a plan in place, have the team trained to the plan, and then exercise that plan in order to begin building muscle memory and confidence in the process. And fourth, what are our outcomes that we're after? It's tough to say that there are necessarily performance metrics around an exercise, but there are lessons learned that you can capture and then go out and address. There's definitely some evolution happening with technology and crisis simulations. There are crisis exercise platforms that are available out there. There's definitely some new tools being developed around AI or virtual reality-based simulations, and these may change how we think about doing exercises in the future. How can you get started with exercises? Well, I think you can start small. You can do drills as a starting point where you're testing a small component of a plan. You can then kind of think about this arc of maturity over time where you invest initially in tabletop discussions. You get the team comfortable with that. You move up to that functional exercise or hybrid tabletop, and then eventually you get to a simulation or even a no-notice simulation. But these are good ways to kind of think of a building block strategy over time that gets you to the answer of, how do I build an exercise strategy over time, and how do I begin to practice and exercise our plans? So from our standpoint here at BrightPath, exercises are an important component of an effective resilience strategy centered on business continuity and crisis management. And I would encourage you to go out and see what you can build in 2025 to begin your company on their crisis and continuity tabletop exercise journey. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.